Hello and welcome to the Thursday, November 21st, 2013 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with diaries today. We do have a third diary from Mark about WinPMEM. In this particular installation of his little mini-series here, he's talking about how to actually change memory with WinPMEM. So far, he only talked about the read-only driver that comes with this software. However, it also allows you to modify values in memory, which of course can be used to essentially in-memory patch software that you're, for example, analyzing. So you can sort of in real time then override debug checks and whatnot else. And of course, it's Mark, so you get a little Python script here with this diary that demonstrates some of this functionality. Pretty cool stuff. Then I got a follow-up to an older story that I talked about earlier this year. In May, a company, Esports Entertainment, or ESEA, was caught installing Bitcoin mining software on its customers' systems. Now, it wasn't actually just a Bitcoin mining, but it also was sort of a remote back door. As far as we know, the remote access was never really used, but the Bitcoin mining turned out to be a little bit lucrative and turned into 30 bitcoins that are valued at about $3,500. Not sure if this was the value from back in May or current value. I'm not that up to date on Bitcoin values. But either way, there was a little bit of dispute whether or not this was just a rogue developer or whether management knew what was going on and condoning it. Either way, now the esports did settle with the Attorney General of the state of New Jersey and they announced a total $1 million fine. However, esports only has to pay $325,000 off that fine initially and then it agreed for some monitoring for the next 10 years and if they behave, then they don't have to pay the remaining amount. Overall, I think a pretty mild punishment if you think that they essentially bought 14,000 computers. And GitHub notified its users not of a new password breach, but instead of a pretty big password brute force attack. What made it so hard to fight that hack was that it came from a 40,000 host botnet, so you can't easily establish rate limits and such in that case because each individual bot doesn't actually conduct a lot of attacks. In a few cases, it appears that hacker was successful and GitHub, as a result, locked the accounts and invalidated OAuth and SSH keys that were stored with the account. Sounds like a good proactive action on GitHub's side here. This is not a breach and brute force attacks cannot be totally blocked, in particular if they come against a public site with a fairly sort of diverse geographic audience and such like GitHub. And LG is a little bit in hot water over its privacy practices. A user of an LG smart TV came across an LG video praising the ability of AG to tailor ads to users based on the customer's viewing habits. If you have one of those smart TVs, they sort of have a menu, and within the menu, you may see ads. Now, after seeing these claims, the user set up a packet sniffer to check what kind of data the TV reports back to Samsung. And he found, well, not quite unexpected, that whenever he changed the channel, the name of the new channel is being sent to LG in the clear. But what made things even worse is, as soon as he plugged in a USB stick into the TV, it actually then transmitted the file names of the files on that USB stick back to LG. This wasn't 100% reproducible. Sometimes it happened, sometimes it didn't happen. Also, the requests are normal HTTP requests, but the response is a 404 error, kind of indicating that the page collects the data doesn't exist. But of course, the data could still be collected. It isn't really necessary to even have a page there. The data is still being posted and could still be locked somewhere. So really not clear what's going on here. LG doesn't really see it as a problem as part of the user agreement. You do agree that you do allow LG access to certain data like this. In the show notes, as usual, you'll find a link to the blog article. And if you have one of those TVs, it lists the URLs that you may want to block in order to prevent this behavior. And Renesas, a company that offers a BGP monitoring service, published an interesting article about how internet traffic has been redirected in the past. As Renesas points out, these attacks allow the attacker to eavesdrop and alter traffic, essentially launch a man-in-the-middle attack without requiring access to the router that the traffic is passing through, either remote or local access. The attacker just advertises itself as the network providing internet service for a particular set of addresses, and the rest of the internet, for the most part, will just trust this advertisement. Now, the victim may actually not even realize what's happening if the attacker, and that's what Renesas saw, is just forwarding the traffic, essentially sort of completing the man-in-the-middle attack. That's a little bit tricky because they now need to leave sort of some routes open for the traffic to actually go back to the real destination, but certainly can be done and is done pretty routinely these days. Renesas says over the last 60 days, they observed about 1,500 IP blocks being redirected in this way to countries like the Ukraine, for example. And in one case, they even had traffic, I believe it was in Denver, I don't have it in front of me, but basically from one customer in Denver to another customer in Denver, the traffic was routed all the way back to Italy, I believe. So these routes can get pretty excessive. In that case, of course, you may be able to spot it just by looking at the latency. Now, of course, eavesdropping is an obvious attack. The root cause here is in some ways that BGP, the protocol that's used to advertise these routes, is not really authenticated well, and there is sort of no registrar that you could easily compare these advertisements to. However, the other sort of problem here is, or actually the defense, is that you use end-to-end authentication and encryption. So if you don't want anybody to eavesdrop, and if you want to prevent these attacks from being successful, you just need to run everything across a well-configured SSL tunnel. Well, that's it for today. Sorry it ran a little bit later. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.